Hey everyone, it's Damara West. I am founder of Be Well, Beautiful Woman, where we help female leaders and entrepreneurs to center joy and liberation so that they can live life on their own terms. You have tuned in to the Women's Liberation Summit. That's one of the ways that we help you to live life on your own terms. And I have an amazing speaker on our lineup today that you are going to be gleaning all kind of nuggets from. She's been on this liberation journey for quite some time. So Saisha, also known as Thick Thigh Yoga, is an NYC yoga teacher who's known for her playful and accessible teaching style. She fell in love with yoga after feeling challenged but strong in group yoga sessions. At that time, she also recognized the lack of examples of yogis that looked like her. She's proud to represent a class where a class of people that are oftentimes missed under yoga as a hashtag. She reaches yogis of all shapes, sizes, and shades that are open to practicing what this truly healing wellness practice can do. And she represents body confident yoga, which is really beautiful to see in action. And if you're not following her on Instagram, we're going to talk about how you can do that. But now you can go right to Thick Thigh Yoga to make that happen. So Saisha, thank you so much for being with me.
Thank you for having me, Damara. I'm really excited to talk to all of the ladies here for this Liberation Summit.
Oh my gosh. Yes, yes, yes. Me too. It's going to be amazing. So let's start with diving into what body confident yoga is and why it's so important to our liberation.
So I have felt throughout my whole yoga practice that the more connected you feel to your body, the more you understand yourself, your abilities, your strengths, and maybe, you know, we have to understand our weaknesses as well, to where we can build and fulfill ourselves more and be get stronger, right? And build ourselves that way. So being confident in your body, what it can do, what you are, what you will one day be able to do, being aware of your current physical limitations, whatever that may entail, and being able to build from that, like, is freedom. It is so free. It is so liberating to know I am capable of so much and I will get there.
That is so good. So, you know, I'm capable of so much and I will get there. You know, oftentimes we want this arrival to happen right now, right? We want it all to be right now. That's the kind of society that we live in. And so, you know, for people that are feeling like they have to be at a certain place in their life, or that things should look a certain way, you know, what do you have to say to those folks?
Well, it's those are two different questions, and I answer both of them all the time.
Yes.
So patience is for real a virtue. You have to be patient with the growing and the changing of your body. The issues, the things you may feel are problems that you currently have with your body, the way it looks, your strength, your weight, your the way your clothes fit, whatever that may be, those are things that didn't necessarily happen in a day. So to fix it, to change it, to get to where you want to be, that's also not going to happen in a day. To get to these super challenging yoga poses, it's not going to happen in a day as well. Like, maybe if you were already the person that did all the things, you did the CrossFit and you just came out of gymnastics, you just never tried yoga, sure, you probably would be able to do some things. But if you're just like getting back to the gym or just finding yourself and saying, finding a movement practice, whatever it is, it's going to take some time to build up the endurance, build up the skill, build up the strength, build up the flexibility. But if you are consistent, you will see changes within like 2 weeks. That's the fast change. Being aware of the little small changes, the small pieces of growth, those things, that really helps. And then for someone who has a body shape like mine, the poses are never going to look the way they look in other people's bodies. That's literally why I do this, right? I didn't see representation of harder poses, of difficult things. And I said, well, you know what? I'm going to do it. Because I can do it. I know I'm capable. And I know that I'm looking at pictures of people shaped very thin compared to myself, right? Very straight, very thin. And they're doing these poses and it looks like this when I do it. And I know I'm doing it right because I'm trained. I've got my 200 hours. I've got this. I've got that. I've attended classes. I've spoken to teachers. I know I'm doing this right. And it still doesn't look the same. So you know what? It's not meant to look the same. Mm-hmm. It will never look the same. And that's okay. I know how to do it right. Learning how to do it correctly, accurately, aligned, in a way that you won't hurt yourself. All far more important than looking like that person when you do it. So this is the representation. This is why the need is so important. And that's why as you work through and you are looking for new poses and stuff like that to do, more challenging things, there are certain people with certain bodies that you can look to. Yeah. And I want to be one of those people.
That's so great. And, you know, I've been following your work for quite some time and, you know, to see you in some of the poses that you capture so beautifully, all over the world, right? In your sacred space. And I think any space can be sacred, of course. It's so rare, right? To see that even now. And, I love that you're so tenacious in putting it out there that, you know, no matter who you are, based on all of the identities that you list that we talked about in your bio, that through concerted practice, that's what really makes a difference. But then you also said something that I think is key to our liberation, which is not comparing ourselves to other people. You know, it's so dangerous when we're trying to, you know, look like this person or be successful like this person or, you know, have a yoga pose like this person who is not us, right? And there's really only one Seisha. There's only one of every single audience member that's here. And our design, both through our movement and our speech and, you know, all of those things are really unique to our identity. And our job, our only job is to compare ourselves to, you know, like our future selves to who we are right now. But that's really a practice. And so I love that you said that because I do think that when we're talking about liberation, one of the ways that we can break free from the limitations that we put on ourselves is simply just embracing what is.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Comparison is the thief of joy. Right. Mm-hmm. I can compare and compare to what I don't have, what I don't have, and never have time to appreciate what I do.
Yes.
I need to take that time to do that.
So true. We do have to take the time to do that. And comparison is the thief of joy. Such powerful words. So, you know, in speaking of liberation, which is the whole theme, right, for this summit, we all have a story, right, that led us to the passion-led work that we do. Talk to the audience about what your liberation story is.
When I started to do yoga, I was getting back into the gym, right? I had graduated. I finally finished grad school. And I'm a school teacher and I was just busy and stressed and I was, you know, not really eating right, not really doing things for myself, not really taking the time that I needed to. And I started yoga in the gym. And my best friend got certified. And I saw how much it had done, her yoga journey had done for her with understanding herself and her passion, right? Like she's more fiery of a person. And like, it's, she's still fiery, but it is more contained, as in she can direct it better, right? Versus just some people just ready to fight, you know? So like, it was a movement of that for her. So I said, you know what, if it can be that powerful, then I want a part of this. I want to know about it. I want to feel it more. And as I got into it, I was feeling more strength. I wasn't as confident as a person as I am now. I wasn't as comfortable in my clothes. And that was between weight and just like my consciousness. And so getting stronger, feeling like, yes, this is hard and I'm sweating and I'm out of breath, but like, I could do this. This is good. This is cool. And again, I went through that process of, oh my God, this is hard. What do you mean? Inhale this, exhale that. I've breathed 10 times and I'm so in trouble. But then once I did it again and again, like I said, it felt good. I felt strong. I felt powerful. I felt like I could get into new positions, things that I had never even imagined that I was going to be capable of doing. And I found so much comfort in my own body, in my own mind to say, okay, well, if I know that I'm capable of this kind of growth, I'm capable of a lot of other kinds of growth as well.
Yeah. And you know what occurs to me about what you just said about yoga is that yoga helped you to reorient back to your divine self, right? So like feeling that you're capable of doing something, that you can stretch yourself, that you can feel good in this skin, in this body, that you can actually move this way. You never imagine, like, it's, we're talking about that mind, body, spirit integration. And so when I hear you say that, it was like yoga brought you home. Yeah, yoga brought you home. And so I imagine that considering that you've built an entire brand, right, based on body positive yoga, that yoga has continued to really keep you grounded in yourself. But I can also imagine that you probably have a lot of wellness practices that help you to stay liberated and grounded. And I would love to hear, you know, for the audience sake and my own, quite frankly, what are some of the other ways that you, you know, keep liberation at the forefront of your life, both consciously and unconsciously through practice?
Well, I agree completely. Yoga definitely did do this for me, started me on my way of finding my way back to myself and, you know, releasing the things of ego, of the world, of commercialism, of capitalism, all these things, right? Releasing those things. And then now it has allowed me to, one, connect with a lot of amazing people. I do a lot of meditation. In the morning, I do movement and meditation, just breath work, to connect to, again, myself, to orient myself for the day, to make sure that I feel prepared to go out and live in this crazy world that we are in currently. I'm a school teacher, so I'm also protecting myself from that. I'm a preacher of self-care, right? The wellness practices that I take a lot of baths, spiritual baths, try and cleanse myself, feel like, because I am specifically an empathic person. I always say like I'm Pisces to the max, right? So I take a lot in. So it's important for me to like rinse those things off physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. I do sound healing. I have a singing bowl. I have chimes. I love incense and burning incense and taking the time to even just watch the smoke, right? Like watch it release and just breathe with the movement and see those things. Like I have my plants everywhere. And if you follow me on Instagram, you'll see all my plants. And I have all these things that I try to do. They're small, they're personal. They belong to me. They don't belong to anyone else. And that for me is my wellness practice. Mm. And I feel like people, a lot of times they try to take, other people's practices, which I'm totally, if the suggestion works for you, absolutely. But like, it could just be finding your thing. I have friends that like, they have specifically have like loose tea and they sip their tea. And I have people who that I know do tarot and tea readings, right? Read their own cards every day. Take those practices into your life if that's what works for you. But what do you do? My biggest suggestion when it comes to wellness is just what makes you feel really good.
Yes. And I so appreciate what you said, right? I mean, you're surrounding yourself, you know, with life force energy and life force practices, but also this recognition that these are really sacred for you. These are the things that land for you. And you're not attempting to be a carbon copy of a wellness practice because maybe it's popular or it's something that someone else is doing, but really centering your healing on what is the thing that's sticking, because that's where the vitality lies, right? And, you know, so many of my clients as a coach, they are doing wellness for the sake of wellness versus let's do wellness, you know, for the sake of well-being. Yeah. Let's do wellness. Let's not have it be another thing that's on your list with this outcome that you're aspiring to. This is a lifelong practice of trying on and integrating into our lives. And so I just, that was such a insightful thing that you invited the audience to think about, right? Find it for yourself. And so for those people who are, you know, maybe wondering, how do I find it for myself? I haven't found anything that really, really sticks for me. What kind of, you know, advice might you have for them?
I would say try something new, right? That's one big thing. Like maybe you go on Groupon and you just scroll. What is something? This looks interesting. I want to try it. It might be painting. It might be something you can do with a friend, something you do by yourself, something you just want to try. And it's just one time. And then you say, you know what? I really like that. Or it was cool. I got to go out with my girl, but I don't want to do this again. Yeah. Okay. That's okay. You can let it go. People hate baths. There's some people that hate baths. Me telling you to take a bath is going to be stressful as hell. Don't do it.
Absolutely.
Right. Do that thing. And then my other biggest suggestion is, what did you like to do before someone told you to stop doing it?
That's so good.
When you were a kid, what did you like to do before someone told you to stop? Before somebody told you couldn't sing, did you sing at the top of your lungs in the shower, in your room, around the house? Do it. You grown now, just whatever, do it. Is it dancing? You're not a great dancer. You can't remember any of the TikTok dances. Yeah, me neither. That's fine. Dance, be free, have fun, right? Move, feel, do things that make you feel free. Are you not a great artist, but you love to draw? Maybe you start coloring books instead, right? You find something. Coloring books are definitely a thing I do as well, right? If that might be it, or maybe you do have a sketchbook and you just draw and you doodle, and maybe you never make $1 million from a doodle, but you do it because it feels good. That's worth $1 million.
Oh my God.
It's worth doing it.
Absolutely. And so much more than that, right? How can we put a price tag, right, on our well-being, on our joy, on our freedom? And, you know, this question around what did you like to do before someone told you that you couldn't do it? Because even that question is rooted in liberation, and it's rooted in reorienting ourselves into ourselves. And when we were younger, we were precocious. We were curious. We were adventurous. You know, when children become fearful, they typically become fearful as a result of adults, right? It's a learned kind of behavior. Their natural state is not to be afraid of the world. Once they, of course, they get out of the womb and they realize, oh my gosh, right? This is my new world. So once they get comfortable in the new world, their natural state is to be joyous, is to prize themselves in pleasure. And if we have more time, we could talk about all the ways that we do that as children. But I think just that big question that you have invited us to think about can uncover so many things. That was rich. So yoga, as we both know, right, it's a super powerful practice. That, and you've talked about this already, and I just want to give you an opportunity to shed light on anything else that you may want to, regarding the fact that, you know, it is a powerful practice that literally primes the body for self-healing. For skeptics out there, because of their size, because of their religion, because of their race, what do you want them to know that you haven't told us already? That this really is for all of us.
Well, as far as religion, I love it when people ask me about this because I attended church for years. I definitely still have church family. And I've had the discussion with people about, well, you know, aren't you praising gods and worshiping gods? And I'm not going to say no. I'm not going to say no to that. What I am going to say is that yoga and yoga poses and practices are based on Hindu mythology. And it is stated blankly that it is mythology, right? So if we as a people have not been taught to fear Greek mythology, then why should we fear Hindu mythology? Societally, it's just because it's from brown people, and I'm not with that either. Right? It's just stories. And every culture has the stories that they tell to children to make them act right. Right? We all have, every culture has a story about why you should give, why you should do this, why you should wash up. Like there's always some sort of little folklore, things like that, that go with any culture. And that's really this. It's just that there's a huge practice built on this, right? Yeah. So you'll see the gods that they talk about represented, but understand that they are just mythology. So I don't know how that could go against any religion that you genuinely practice and have studied and you've the Bible of, you know, I don't see how that could infringe.
Absolutely. Yeah. And this is the first time that I've ever heard it explained the way that you did. And I so love it because you're posing us to really think about some of the ways in which cultural bias, it lends itself to the way in which we look at certain practices. And, you know, I tell people often that yoga is, for to be a yogi, right? We could probably do a whole training just on this, right? But to be a yogi is not just rooted in practice, right? The forms of the poses. It's really about how you live your life. And you've spoken to that in some shape or form during this interview. It's the values in which you hold. It's the care that you have for humanity. It's the extent to which you feel connected to humanity. But also, and yoga really being a foundational component to help you, the forms of it to help you to stay rooted in being a good human, right? And so I love that you explained it in a way to say, well, gosh, hold on a minute. Is this how we look at everything? But even beyond that, let's talk about the hundreds of health benefits that people receive from yoga every single day. From not having to have back surgery to, I mean, I'm sure you have countless stories, both personal stories and also anecdotal stories that you can share from people that you serve. And I say often that some of my best and brightest ideas have come when I've been on my yoga mat because of the time where I'm creating space for myself. Maybe I've moved in a way to open up energetic space to allow something new to emerge. And so we have to really think about what we've been taught so that we can liberate into the ideas that are actually our own and are best suited for our lives. That was brilliant, sis. Brilliant. Thank you for that.
Yeah, thank you. And as far as the other side of that, right, like the physical limitations, I am here to represent that that is not a thing. All the time. And like, I have a lot of yogis that I follow, that I share, that I'm friends with now. The internet is an amazing place because it connects you to so many people. There are no physical limitations. There are no cultural or race or religious limitations, right? It's yoga is breathing. Yoga is based in breath. And then once you add movement, the physical asanas, the practice of yoga is a component. But if you are physically disabled, but you can breathe, we can do this. If you are challenged, like I have a lot of clients that have said, oh, my physical therapist told me I should do yoga and yoga has helped me more than doing physical therapy. They have come to me with, oh, I threw my back out at work. They say I need surgery or I'm about to have surgery on my knee, but I need to strengthen the muscles around my knees. There's so many things that we can do in a yoga practice that is with natural movement, which is with your own body weight. We can do chair practices that take the body weight out of your feet and you can move things this way and like seated practices, bed yoga. There's so many ways that you can access this. It doesn't have to be that you spend $100 on a mat, $200 on an outfit, go to a $25 yoga class in the city and like have to get an iced coffee at Starbucks after. That is not a real thing. That is one persona of the people that do yoga. And that is not the level of access. Yoga is about breathing. I always suggest people go to YouTube to start 10 minutes seated, look at it, try it out. Like you notice there's a way to find access, find the right teacher for yourself, for your body. And it's your possibilities are like limitless.
Oh, I love that. With yoga, possibilities are limitless. Oh, that needs to be like your tagline. If it's not outside of some of the other ways that you beautifully talk about your work and the fact that yoga is truly for everyone. I love it. Body positive yoga is where it's at. So as we get ready to wrap up, all right, we'd be remiss if we didn't get to know you a little bit more and to understand what you have liberated from, how you liberated from those things, and what are you still working to liberate in your life?
Well, so it's a very packed question. So I would say the biggest thing for myself, I've come through a lot of things. I've come through emotionally abusive relationships. I've come through like growing up from a poor neighborhood and low-income family. And I've done all these things and I've changed my tax bracket. I've changed my, you know, level of education. I've changed my emotional health, right? Like I've grown and I've tried to grow through that. And I still do it, right? This is why I do so much support of like healthy relationship talk on my page as well, in my channel. Like I try to encourage those conversations because I don't feel like they're had. And I have had many women that I know personally that before doing yoga versus after, they, including myself, got a divorce. They ended their long-term relationship. They did this, they did that because they were being treated poorly, but they didn't see themselves in enough light to make a change, to shift out of it, because you feel like that's the only option you have because, oh, well, this person loves me. They treat you terribly. They don't love you. You know, like, so finding my way through that, I had to do that. And so I talk about it still because I still have my own traumas and triggers in that realm, right? So I would say I'm through it, but I'm still healing. We're all still healing, right? But I'll say the thing that I am working towards now the most is the imposter syndrome, right? Like we face this as Black women, we face this as women, we face this a lot. And just like societally, if you are not what society has deemed as the star thing, the perfect thing from the time you were born, then you have, like, you've most likely been impacted by this imposter syndrome. I am in the process of growing my business. I want to build my brand to a point where I can get out of my full-time teaching position, where I can live a certain way. And I'm doing that. I'm doing my classes. I am building this YouTube channel. I am planning to host a retreat and all that stuff that is coming. I want to do all these things. And there are definitely still times that the imposter syndrome holds me back, that I'm like, oh, but people aren't going to do this. Or I don't know if they're going to have the money for that. And I can't doubt myself. Right? I have to barrel through this. I have to still make the plans. I have to still work on it. I have to still make the content and present it. And like just even just recently, I've made a change to the way I've presented my content and the things that I've included. And it has been regarded very positively. And I held myself back from it for a little while. I didn't want to do too much of this. Like, and sometimes you just got to do too much. You know, sometimes you just got to do a lot. Sometimes you have to do it. You have to be there. You have to put it out because it's right for someone. And if you're passionate about it, then it can be right and it can do you right. You know, like, so this is why we have to push through this. So this is an obstacle that I face all the time. And I'm trying to barrel through. I'm trying to push through it. It still grows, still show what has to be shown. I don't know what the possibilities are, but I don't want to limit myself.
Yeah. So I appreciate you sharing that because I think, you know, that so many of us, you said it right. Black women, women of color, poor women, like there's so many layers to trauma, that we have taken on, into a certain identity that makes us feel like we have to continue to be that identity. And I love what you said. You had longed to do more of what you were doing right now, but you were too afraid to do it. But the moment that you did it, it was exactly what your audience needed to take you to the next level towards what you want. So this is so good because a lot of times the very thing that we're afraid of is the very thing that we need to pay attention to. And, you know, sometimes, right, we have to just barrel through the fear. And sometimes we do the work to remove the fear, or it's this ebb and flow, because I don't think that there's ever a time when fear doesn't manifest itself in some ways. And I think that even when we quiet that voice of fear through a myriad of wellness practices, when we elevate more, there's going to be more that we have to be afraid of, right? Like
that next level, yeah.
That next level fear. And hopefully all of us are continuing to grapple with that next level fear because all of us are continuing to evolve on our lives' paths, That was so beautiful. So Queen, we have come to the end of our journey. And I just want the audience to be able to stay in touch with you. I know you have an amazing offering as a part of the summit that I want to make sure that folks can take advantage of. Not to mention, you have beautiful content. So we got to make sure that we put a plug on your Instagram so folks can follow you and stay connected to you in any way that they feel inspired to do so.
Well, I am Thick Thigh Yoga. Everywhere. I am Thick Thigh Yoga on Instagram, on TikTok, on Facebook. I have a Twitter that I never tweet. So if you are a tweet or a Twitter person, tweet me so I can talk to you because I don't do that enough. ThickThighYoga.com is where you find everything. It's where you find tank tops. It's where you find hoodies. It's where you sign up for my virtual classes. Which I have group classes and I have individual sessions, half an hour. It depends on what works for you and our schedule. And if you're not sure about it, we can chat. I always tell people the way to start yoga is with an individual private session, just so you have a trained yoga teacher telling you what to do, where to go, what, you know, find out what the limitations, the start and the end for you, right? And then we can build from there. And as part of the summit, what I am offering you is a free group session. I want you to attend a virtual class. You can do this from the comfort of your home. Maybe you have the camera on, maybe you don't. It's up to you. But you can go to thickthighyoga.com and go to the group tab to sign up for a group class and use the code YOGA4LIB. YOGA4LIB, YOGA4LIB. And that will take 100% off of the cost of your class. You just sign up, put in your information, and you'll get a Zoom link, right? And all you need for a class is a little bit of space, maybe a mat if you have one, or a rug, a nice soft space and carpet, and Zoom, right? Mm-hmm. Access to Zoom, which everybody has on their phone or computer at this point.
Yeah.
And that's it, right? Come to class. I would love to have you. I would love to speak to you. I would love to get to know you and get you started on your yoga journey, or just be a day in your yoga journey, so that you get to experience it. You get to see a body, see my body doing these shapes and movements. You get different modifications than you get in other classes, and the opportunity to just try it.
Oh my goodness. What an amazing gift. And so please make sure that you take advantage of an opportunity to practice with Saisha. It will be an experience unlike any other. Follow her on Instagram at Thick Thigh Yoga for some really inspiring content. The link will be available, of course, on our landing page so that you can access this with ease. It's also, of course, in your email. So we give you lots of ways for you to take advantage of getting some additional support from this light bearer. Thank you so much, Saisha, for doing this. I appreciate you so much. From one yogi to another yogi, I have deep admiration for you and just the light that you illuminate so brightly in the world. It's just, it's just lovely to see.
Tamara, thank you so much for having me. This was great. I love chatting with you. I'm so glad we've connected, and this will not be the last of us.
I know it won't. I love that, Queen. So y'all heard it here first at the Women's Liberation Summit. Make sure that you connect with Saisha, as I shared with you before, where we help women to claim their authentic power so that they can create a life on their own terms. Until next time, beauties. Ashe.